Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome, everybody, to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy's podcast, and I'm here with Kathy Flaminio from 1000 Petals Limited Liability Company. We are focusing our whole session today on mindfulness and movement through Yoga Calm. Just to refresh your memory, Kathy owns 1000 Petals. It's a training and consulting company on the science and practice of mindfulness and movement. Kathy is committed to developing products and services that provide transformative experiences to help adults and children live a more integrated life. Kathy holds a master's degree in social work and has over 20 years of experience in the schools. As the National Director of Training Development for Yoga Calm, Kathy has guided over 8,000 professionals to integrate yoga-based movement, mindfulness, and social-emotional skills strategies into classrooms, hospitals, home care, and therapeutic settings. Kathy has partnered with the University of Minnesota Masonic Children's Hospital to provide trauma-informed yoga therapy for children and adolescents at the mental health and dual diagnosis units. Over the past 5 years, Kathy has worked with 4 of the largest school districts in Minnesota to bring Yoga Calm training to their educators district wide. In 2014, Kathy helped develop the Teen Resiliency Program in the Twin Cities with Dr. Henry Emmons and other physicians and psychologists. This program is an integrative, skill-based model used to support teens with anxiety, depression, and other stress-related conditions. In our first episode, we learned that Kathy grew up in Ames, Iowa, in a very unique household with an archaeologist father and a social worker mother and 2 siblings who were older than her. And she shared some things about growing up and some unique rites of passage. And you also described a little bit more about Yoga Calm and the importance of socially emotional learning, and went into how you developed your business, and that you're married and you've got 2 children of your own, and you're kind of passing along some of the rites of passage traditions that you learned from your home. So today we thought, both of us, that we would like to share more information with our listeners about Yoga Calm, because it's a very innovative approach to really addressing the whole element of a child and adults, emotional, physical, and also psychological.
Where do we begin? I think, you know, just talking about when I talked about getting in contact with Yoga Calm, and what I was so attracted to was, you know, Linnea. First of all, they're an amazing couple out in Portland, Oregon, and Linnea has over 30 years of experience as a counselor. Working with really, you know, she developed this program working in a behavior program, you know, working with kids that were really struggling with emotional regulation. And so, I mean, her idea is just like mine of bringing in the yoga to help with self-regulation has been amazing, and her wisdom of working with children. And what makes Yoga Calm so unique is that it was developed by a counselor, and the social-emotional learning is a huge foundational component to our training. So when we think about in Yoga Calm, we teach the program is developed to teach, you know, 5 guiding principles and 5 tools, and it's just a great way to organize teaching, especially for kids. So the 5 principles are stillness, listening, strength, grounding, and community. And so we have what I love the trainings, because the trainings are really for the education. It's for the adult. I mean, so you want to teach, you know, about breath work and yoga based movement. Well, first we got to understand, what is stillness for you? What does it mean to really listen, not just with our ears? What does it mean to listen with your heart? mm-hmm. for you as adult. And then once you get that, you'll be able to teach kids this. So the impact of our training is so great for the professional. People are always asking, is it for the, you know, are the, you know, I want you to come in and teach self-care, but you know, is it just for the staff or are there interventions for the kids? You know, it's all the same. That's why it's called, it's integration, because one does not, it's one is not without the other.
Yes.
And then, so these principles give this really foundation to teach the five tools, which are breath work, yeah. yoga-based movement, social-emotional learning, relaxation techniques and storytelling, and emotional guidance, which means how are we helping people navigate emotions and like emotional healing. So the training is amazing, and the teaching is amazing. Like to me, like let's say like tree pose, I mean, that doesn't mean much to me, just as, I mean, the physical posture means much because it's about helping the body open up. When the body's able to find that balance and the hips open in that way, it does let the brain know everything's going to be okay. It's not like you're going to be standing that exposed with your leg out and your heart open if you were feeling threatened. So that movement in itself is very beneficial. But when we layer it under, ground your feet to the earth, find your power, show me proud. And when we put this emotional language, and that's how we teach to children, we teach alignment through attitude. I mean, that's where this stuff really becomes alive. And right now we're in pre-K all the way up. I mean, we have some of our teachers, you know, they're also adult yoga teachers that are teaching to seniors. But the changes we're seeing in all these environments are so profound. Like, for example, we're at the Masonic Children's Hospital at the University of Minnesota.
Yes.
And we've been there for 4 years.
Okay.
And so we're on two of the units, dual diagnosis unit and the child and adolescent mental health. And if anybody's been in the field of social worker, we know it's really hard for kids to get hospitalized right now. It's hard for kids to get help, even though they really need it. So the kids we're dealing with are the ones that actually are in very acute crisis. And we come in and we've trained some of the staff, and then we come in and do these, you know, hour sessions about an hour. And within an hour, these kids are seeing changes and they're feeling it within themselves. I mean, we have so many stories. I have journals, like we gotta make a book out of it, because the yes. words that come out of these children's mouth, when they just look at you and like, what is this? I'm like, what? This place in me that's so still, but my life is a mess. I'm like, that's a place in you that's not messy.
And that you can always come back to.
I think a lot of times we think, you know, life is like minutes and days and months and years, and it's moments. And that's what the mindfulness teaches us. And it's that moment when we all recognize that there is that place that's expansive, that's joyful, that's just pure love.
Yeah.
And if we just know that for a second, even though it's a second, and those of us that practice, like when you have those moments, you're like, you want to go back, and the whole purpose is non-attachment. But when they have that moment and they know that we're teaching them skills to get back, like that's pretty much life changing. Mm-hmm. And when I got into my work, you know, when I was like, I'm just going to bring my yoga mats in and we're going to do yoga. I mean, that was a moment for this child when this child looked at me and said exactly those words, like, oh my gosh. This is amazing. I've never felt this. Or when the child comes back in and says, Miss Kathy, is it okay that I'm doing my breathing exercises in the bathroom? Because that's the only place that's quiet. And I said, of course, you can do this. This is for anywhere. You know, peace isn't when you're on your cushion. It's in your middle of chaos and you find that inside. And we're having kids that are 2 years old saying, breathe in, breathe out. Or we're having a child in the hospital, because a lot of times what we like to do is we do the, you know, kind of the breath work and the movement and the relax, you know, kind of a restore practice at the end, and then art or journaling after, where a child one time drew herself as half monster, half child. And then we asked, you know, what can you tell me about what you drew? And she said, you know, I've always seen myself as half monster. You know, I'm going to get emotional. Yeah, she said, yeah. But today, when I put my hand on my heart, we do a lot of like, put your hands on your heart. What does your heart have to say? When I put my hand on my heart today, my heart told me you're not the monster. And that wasn't her therapist or her parent or anybody. It was her own self saying, you're not the monster. Mm. And then she looked at me and said, I'm not my anxiety. I'm like, you're not. That doesn't define who we are. You are. And we are so labeling children. It's problematic.
Yes.
When a child says to me, no, Miss Kathy, I can't do that. I'm ADHD. I'm like, okay, wait a second here. No, I can't balance. I'm, you know, I'm always falling off my chair. I'm always getting in trouble. I made, no. Show me this. I know you can do this. And I'm going to support you on this. 1 second, 2 seconds. You see, standing in a balance pose, 3 seconds, 5 minutes. You know, the next thing we know, this kid's 2 minutes balancing on one foot. He's closing his eyes. He's telling his whole class, anybody want to do this for 2 minutes? And so am I proud that this kid can balance on one foot? Actually, I am proud because he's the one that's been falling off the chairs that no longer is doing that.
Yeah.
But I'm more thrilled when he looks at me and he knows in his heart he is not the ADHD child. He is way more than that.
Than a label.
And that's what yoga is about. Yoga is embracing all parts of ourselves.
Yes.
Which brings me back to, I am not just the child that can't read.
Yes.
I'm so much more than that.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's so... so powerful. And we see this every day. I'm like, I can't believe that this is my business. Like, I can't believe I get to be in the hospital in the most sacred time in a kid's life when they want to end their life. And I get to be there with them. Like, mm-hmm. This is my J-O-B, my job.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe, like I get just as much. I'm changed just as much as the child I'm helping. And every one of my you know, contractors, every one of my residency teachers, I hear this every day, like, I can't believe I get to do this work. It's so amazing. And our administrators that we've brought this to hundreds of schools that basically said our school has changed because the educators have changed. So this isn't yoga calm at 9 in the morning. This is the whole structure changes, which is the whole mission of my program is to revolutionize education so that we're teaching to the mind, body, and hearts. So when I go into a class and I say, boys and girls, my promise to you and your teacher's promise, because she's learning this right now, is that every day we're going to give you permission to just be. So you're going to hear us say, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to accomplish. Just you being is enough. You are enough.
Yeah.
And then I get to say, and I know you have a lot of people to listen to in your life. You have to listen to who? My parents, my auntie, my grandparents, my teacher, and those people are really important. But one thing we want in education is we want you to listen to you, to the teacher in you. And that's my promise to you. So we're going to do breathing exercises and movement that help you listen to the teacher inside. And that's our promise to you. And so when people are like, how do you get kids to buy in? I'm like, well, you tell them you're gifting them time to get to know themselves.
Yeah.
And not, you know, so it's just the whole, you know, when we tell kids, you know, listen with your heart. And like yesterday we were doing compliments. I put that it was our last. So we do these residency programs. This is where I, you know, we do these trainings, public trainings. And after the training, I just get so worried, like, what are they doing with this work? Are they able to sustain it? Mm-hmm. So 4 years ago, I developed what's called the Moving and Learning Residency Program. And it's a program where we come in for 6 weeks. We do training with the whole school. And then we're in classrooms partnering and coaching and mentoring the teachers. This has been a huge bump in the business because we're creating sustainability.
Yeah, it's critical.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And, you know, we gave compliments. So the last day of the residency, the teacher goes in the middle and we give compliments. And the kids are, I mean, I videotape sometimes for the teachers so they can hear. And then the kids say, you know, you're an amazing teacher. Yesterday, the kids said, you let us make mistakes and try and help us and let us know there's a new day and that our mistakes actually aren't mistakes. I can't remember the kids' words. It was so amazing. And the teacher's eyes were getting teary. And I said, is anybody's eyes getting teary right now? And they're like, yeah. And I said, when water comes out, your heart is opening. So we're doing the heart work right now, my friends. So that's what we do, you know? And fantastic. This is in pre-K all the way up to high school.
Yeah, we all need it. We've never had it.
Yeah.
So you're on the cutting edge.
It's been amazing. And just listening to what the schools need. You know, and working with kids with trauma, you know, this isn't calm yoga. It's like all of a sudden we want to get calm. It's not. We are moving. We are playing games because going into stillness is the hardest. When your body has had trauma responses and it's on high alert, it is not comfortable to like close your eyes and just breathe. It's not even comfortable to breathe deeply because frankly, and I think we've all had one of those moments where like,
yeah.
Did this just happen?
Yeah.
Like I had a very big loss in my life and I thought, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to breathe through this? And then I realized that I will breathe through this and we all do. But so we're really, a lot of our training is really about how trauma sits in the body. And I think where some yoga and mindfulness programs might run into some challenges is if they're really expecting kids to close their eyes and sit still and all of that, because that is way too far away from when you've had difficulty. So that's just a little bit about that. I mean, the depth of this work is really, it's way more than poses.
We mentor. This is exactly what the piece I feel that has been missing. I got a master's degree in special education. And I had worked with children in elementary education, but then I also moved into a residential treatment center.
Yeah.
And I just felt like how we were working with kids, I mean, they have a lot of needs and they can't speak them all.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't about medicating it away.
Yeah.
This is about really coming to terms with who you are and how you're dealing with this and what impact your experience is having on you.
And that's in the nervous system. That's why yoga is so wonderful, because the trauma is in the nervous system, not in the event itself. So if we keep treating the story, we're not treating the whole thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's both. It's both cognitive and the emotional story and the physical story that's in the body. Right?
I'm finishing up yoga teacher training.
Yes.
And it's interesting, 5 years ago, if you would have asked me if I was going to be a yoga teacher, I would have said, what?
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, let's see, how many years, 15 years into doing yoga, I just feel like it's the best place on the mat for me to really move through some deep emotional stuff, because there's pockets in your body where energy gets stuck. And in the hip area, you know, I've had a lot of movement forward, but emotions get kind of caught up in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never know when you're going to have these big aha breakthroughs.
Yes.
But they happen during yoga on a regular basis for me.
And you make a really important point, which is we want educators to be really responsible about understanding that if you are doing body work, I mean, you need to be responsible and understand, like, and we have a big section in our book and our training about emotional guidance. So what happens when, let's say, a child moves in a way that all of a sudden, let's say they do a big heart opener and just grief is just right there and just coming out and they don't even know what it is. And I want the teachers to know that that can happen. It doesn't happen all the time, but we don't want kids just to be all opened up and no one knows how to help them. And that's
right.
Why our training, we do a lot of that. And that's why it was developed by a counselor. And so we go through what does, you know, flooding look like, you know. Obviously, most of our classes are done in chair yoga or, you know, we have mat flows too.
Yeah.
So we're not getting into a ton of like deep hip openers and all of that, which are hard anyway if you're tight. So physically it's hard, but then emotionally there's a lot in there. But we do a lot of work with kids and all the, and you know, with their bodies in different areas. So a big part of our training is understanding how to unwind that nervous system and then to look for what are some emotional triggers and what kind of interventions you would be doing.
And
for that.
Well, and also along with the training, you know, one of the five principles is the community part.
Yes.
I like the activities that are helping the community to build in belonging and a loving environment. So what has been wrong with us that we have had so much difficulty in business, in mm-hmm. education, in environments where we, churches, where there's the sense of belonging that's missing and true, like just loving and accepting a person.
Because I think we're, I just think of the climate, right? What's going on right now in our climate right now?
Yes.
Like our climate, actual climate, and just what's happening in our world right now. And I feel like we're disconnected from ourselves. So our first relationship is with ourselves. And the more compassionate and kind and, courageous with yourself is you're going to be able to do that with others.
Yes.
So I think that teaching is so critical for relationships.
Yes.
What we do to, I'm seeing right now, I'm like, how do we not understand that what we're doing actually to our physical planet is not hurting our own selves? We are so disconnected from that.
Yeah.
We are so connected to our earth and what we're doing right now. You can see all over the world. We anything you do is that is a pain for ourselves.
Yeah.
And same thing with our, how we treat others. I mean,
we see the ripple effect around the world in a way we haven't before.
But I think it's interesting where we are right now. And this is why I think our work is so, so important. I mean, we just got done with elections. It's impacted a lot of the communities I'm involved in. It doesn't matter what side you're on, but you need to be there to listen to how kids are showing up. And one thing we did talk with the schools about is that the school is a safe community, and that school is going to say the same right now. And you're safe here, and we can talk with you. I mean, that's the whole – and we have exercises. Like we do tree balance circle where kids are doing a balance pose by themselves, and they connect with someone else, and they immediately see how supported they are.
So their hands are touching each other.
Yes, and they're holding each other
up in a circle.
And they're challenging each other. And I think we talk about like grit and resiliency. We have a lot of activities in Yoga Calm that work on how do you handle challenge, whether it's like you're challenging someone in balance or you're distracting someone that's trying to balance.
Yeah.
And we want to cultivate that resiliency inside.
Well, and bringing it also into like innovation, which is, so the act of creativity is coming up with the idea. The element of innovation comes in when you're taking the idea and you're doing something with it.
Yes.
And so as entrepreneurs, that's our job to take innovation and implement it and tweak it and figure it out until it works.
Yes.
One of the things that doesn't work in entrepreneurship training is the classroom environment to teach entrepreneurship just there.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm doing it outside of the institution.
Yes.
And doing it when I'm in the field with entrepreneurs building the program, or that's why, one element is talking about it.
Yes.
And so they can hear wherever they're at in the world. But the connection that I have with Yoga Calm in the classroom, we're giving them the experience.
Yes.
And that's my point is that with entrepreneurship, you need the experience to be able to figure out, how to manage yourself.
Yeah.
And if we want kids and we want our nation to stay nimble and coming up with new ideas and new inventions, we have to give them space in a place that's sacred and safe, where they can develop emotionally so that they know how to handle it. So it isn't based on tests and whether you have the right answer. It's really based on, if you didn't get the right answer, what resources are you going to use to help you figure out what to do from there?
Yeah. And I think the physical poses, that's why I have so much fun with the poses, because the kids feel it in their body. I've talked about relationships forever, but now we're doing things where they're actually experiencing, like a partner pull or something where, what happens if you pull too hard? You would fall over. Well, what happens if you don't pull enough? You wouldn't even be in relationships. So isn't that like relationships? We want this interdependence.
Yes.
Or these kids, we have this little UFO ball where it lights up when the whole circle is connected. And the minute someone maybe from the way opposite part of the circle disconnects, it disconnects. The light goes off.
Yeah. Those are the practical pieces that come into play, and kids connect with that.
Yes. And it's a body experience. So that experience is so important.
Yes. I had this experience at chess. We were having a tournament at the Robbinsdale Spanish Immersion School. This was a few years ago after I had taken the training and I was working with the kids for probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 months every Friday. We had the tournament. The kids were waiting in line because they were in between. So with the tournament, they had 5 rounds that they needed to play.
Yeah.
So they would go, so we would pair them up and then they would go in the cafeteria and set up their board and then play. And then when they're done, they record the results. And then when everybody's finished, then they tally the results and then repair everybody. It's done with the computers, algorithms. And then they wait and we bring out a sheet of paper with the new pairings and the kids are all waiting in line, like so anxious. And the kids were in line. So we had like, you know, 150 kids waiting in line, ready to be, you know, anxious to be repaired. I'm standing there and they had a glitch with the computer on the process. And so we had some extra minutes. So the kids started saying, "Well, Nancy, let's start some of our yoga calm exercise.
Oh,
let's start with breathing." And so we, you know, I had the kids take turns and then we did, and that took up the whole time. But you can see, you know, the kids are seeing that as an exercise that they could apply in a totally different situation. And no one had a computer, you know, no one had phones. You know, this was kids connecting with kids, playing with games, which is how we used to, you know, very tactile way of connecting. And we really need more of those experiences. So I just wanted to bring that up because I really think it's so important. What you're doing, and I'm kind of integrating all of this, trying to figure out how can I use this with business owners and leaders. And I think that it's really important that we're all doing this on different fronts with different populations. And then we can take the results that we're having and, you know, have some more research that validates that yoga is really important as a part of life. And you can take it to whatever depths you want, and it's never too late to start. I just got goosebumps. It's a beautiful way to end. This has been just really lovely. I feel so blessed that you're in my life, and I feel like we'll connect some more, maybe in Peru.
Yeah.
In June. All right. Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, photographer, all-around great person. All right, everybody, we'll see you next week.